How's everybody today? For anyone who doesn't know me, I'm Mal. I'm part of the team here. And today it's my privilege to bring a little bit of word into the meeting. So first question for today is, who here is the same as somebody else? Is anybody here the same as anybody else? No two people are exactly alike. Nor have they ever been, nor will they ever be. And we're different from each other in so many different ways. Even twins have differences. We all have different fingerprints. Isn't that amazing? In creation, God could create a unique fingerprint for each and every one of us. How many people on earth? 7 or 8 billion? So there's at least 7 or 8 billion fingerprints walking around today, plus whatever has been before. And they're all different. All our eyes are different. Our hair is different. Our skin is different. Our skin colour is different. Our heritage is different. Our intelligence level is different. Our personality is different, not to mention height and weight. Now, dare I say it, but we all smell different. We won't go there, but we do. That's how a dog can identify us. They come up and sniff us. We all smell different. They can recognise us. But we're all alike in a few things, one of them being hunger and thirst. Each of us reacts differently to different stimuli, and we all react differently to hunger and thirst. Things taste differently to each of us. Now, who likes coriander? I'll pray for you folk later. Who thinks coriander tastes disgusting like soap? It's terrible stuff. I don't even know why people eat it. And I watch these cooking shows and they say, let's add some coriander. I think, oh, you've just spoiled it. But that's just me. Okay, so let's have a little bit of fun here. How do we feel when we're hungry? Who'd like to start saying a few things? How do you feel when you're hungry? Grumpy? What else do you feel? Irritable? What else? Anything else? Sorry? Snappy? Yep. What about you feel a little bit of pain in the gut? And you feel uncomfortable? And you feel that if you could just get something inside you, you'd feel much better. What about when you're thirsty? How do you feel? Sorry? Headache? Yep. If you don't drink enough water, you get a headache. You feel dry? Yep. What else was? Lethargic? Sorry? Dizzy? Yep. It is just another form of being uncomfortable. So let's look at the other end of that. How do we feel after we've had something to eat or drink? Speak up. Satisfied. Sleepy. Relieved. What else? Hey? Content. Yep. Someone else said something? Full. Yep. So basically, once we've had something to eat, things go back to fairly normal, don't they? Things feel right again. Things feel like, okay, we've had something to eat, we feel much better. Now, Jesus gave us a lesson in hunger and thirst. I better get the technology out. I think that's on. Jesus gave us a lesson in hunger and thirst. It's not working. No, still not working. There we are. Jesus gave us a lesson in Matthew 5, chapter 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, when you think about filled, when we eat or drink food, we feel filled. But Jesus is saying, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. So the scripture says here, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Another word for blessed could be happy. So we can think happy or satisfied are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, we could think of that as a little bit strange in some ways. So how could hunger and thirst make somebody happy? Does that sound a little strange? That's just one way of looking at it. But what Jesus is doing, he's actually asking, how spiritually hungry and thirsty are you? How much do you want righteousness? Do you want that as much as if you are hungry and want food? As much as you thirst after righteousness? How much do you want that? And he's saying, you will be blessed and you'll be happy. But why would Jesus challenge us like that? Why would he challenge us to be hungry and thirsty after righteousness? Well, it's because of a few things that that suggests. So just what do the words hunger and thirst suggest? Well, from one point, as we've discussed, they suggest agony, pain, discomfort, and that's especially if you're on a diet. What do babies, what is one of the first things that babies do when they're born? Cry, scream. But what is it they're looking for? What? Food. They've just done a pretty hard bit of work. You know, the mother helped a bit. But a baby is looking for a feed very soon after it's born. It's a natural thing. So what is that actually telling us? Well, it's telling us, we're looking on the bright side here, it's telling us four things. What Jesus is suggesting that hunger and thirst means is, it means life, it means health, it means growth, and it means enjoyment. If we don't have hunger and thirst, we don't get those things. As soon as babies enter the world, they hunger and thirst for food, and they're telling us they are alive. If a baby doesn't scream when it's born, what's the problem? There is a problem if a baby doesn't scream when it's born. That's what they do. That's how they tell us that they're alive, and they're breathing. So as soon as we're born into the kingdom of God, we need to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So in Australia, when we have a drought, what happens to trees? They dry up, especially in summertime, and we lose quite a few. Any water that's available doesn't make it to the roots. And if the trees don't get water for an extended period of time, they die. Similarly, if we do not hunger and thirst after righteousness, our spiritual life can go dormant, and perhaps we have no fulfillment, maybe no spiritual life. But where there is hunger, an inner yearning for more, just like when we want food, we can know that we can be filled and we can have the life that Christ came to give us. And life brings us happiness. That doesn't mean everything's going to be champagne and roses, but it means that we're going to be fulfilled. We're going to have blessings from God. Another thing is health. When we look forward to coming to church, when we look forward to Bible study, and when we can offer a helping hand to those in need, we have a good spiritual health. A Christian who loves to worship and fellowship with other believers, who has an appetite for Bible reading and study, who just can't get enough of God, will always receive from the goodness of God. Those who hunger after God are spiritually healthy and happy. Now, when Monica and I got married, we spent a lot of time together. We still do, but we spent a lot more time together than we do now. What if we hadn't? What would have happened to our relationship? So then we can take that a little bit further and say, when we when we become introduced to God, when we know Jesus as our personal Saviour, if we don't spend much time with Jesus, if we don't spend much time in the Word, if we don't spend much time hungering and thirsting after the things of God, what happens? The relationship starts to decay a bit. We start to do our own thing. If we don't have a spiritual hunger, if we don't hunger and thirst after God, and we're putting other things into our heart and into our mind, what happens? We start to get a bit stale, and our spiritual walk suffers. So our health, our spiritual health declines. And what happens when health declines? We get sick. And if we don't look after our health, we are in trouble. If we don't look after our spiritual health, we're in trouble. Another thing we need to think about as to what Jesus is suggesting with hunger and thirst is growth. To hunger and thirst after righteousness means that we have to eat. And to have a hunger and thirst after righteousness, we need to eat spiritual food. The same as our normal physical growth, we need to feed that with food. We need to feed our spirit with food as well. When we regularly feast on nourishment from God, we grow. And as we grow, we hunger more and we thirst more for the deeper and more meaningful things of God. The church at Corinth had a bit of a problem with that. And as a result, they were dragging their feet spiritually. And Paul said to them in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not yet ready for it." The Corinthian church was not embracing spiritual righteousness. They were not spiritually hungry. They did not have any spiritual hunger at all, and they stayed with just ordinary basic stuff, and they dragged their feet in maturity. So what was happening? Their spiritual health was decaying. So the lesson for us in that is, let's not let our spiritual health decay. Let's get into the meat of God's word. Let's get into the righteousness that he has for us. Jesus was also referring to enjoyment. Now, we all had a better appetite when we were kids. Would everybody agree with that? So when I was a kid, I'd always come back for seconds. And 3 or 4 hours later, I'd be looking for more. I had so much energy to burn, and I had to fuel it somehow. And so I used to eat a lot, and then I'd use it all up real quick. And eating was, and still is, an enjoyable experience. It's something we can enjoy. Who likes going out to a banquet? Yep. Who likes to go to a restaurant? Who likes to have a really nice home-cooked meal? The difference now is, from when we were kids, now I think of myself, I can only speak for myself, not for anyone else. If I ate like I did 50 years ago, yeah, let's not go there. I'm fat enough already. But it's true. When we were kids, we had energy to burn, didn't we? And we used to eat a lot. We used to fuel our energy. We used to feed on stuff, and then we'd go out and burn it up. These days, I don't know, we play the keyboard. So our fingers are very good. But in all honesty, we need to be approaching our spiritual hunger like we did when we were kids. We need to eat spiritually like we ate food when we were kids. In my spiritual life now, I need to be constantly consuming spiritual food. The more I have, the more I want. The more I have, the more I need. Those who hunger for righteousness enjoy feasting on God's word. They enjoy Christian worship. They enjoy prayer and fellowship. as they satisfy their spiritual appetite, they will experience happiness in God. So why else would Jesus suggest that hunger and thirst are the way to happiness? Well, there's also the fact of the lessons that they teach. So when we're hungry and thirsty, we can learn a number of things that we might not learn otherwise. Now imagine for a moment if you were lost in the desert. You might learn to retrieve water from a plant. You might learn to find bush tucker. We might learn and remember about our Indigenous folk, how they never had access to the things that we have access and the conveniences of what we had. They had to go and find their food. They learnt how to do it. They satisfied their hunger by learning. There were things to learn. And God is saying that there are still things to learn from our hunger. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that we all head out to the bush and, I mean, if you want to, go ahead. But I'm not suggesting for a minute we have to do that. But God has some stuff that we need to think about and we need to learn. And hungering and thirsting after righteousness gives us the appetite to do that. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's spiritual food. Psalm 42:1-2 says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O my God. My soul thirsts for God and for the living God. Where can I go to meet with God? God has placed in us an insatiable hunger and thirst for him, and it's inside each of us. We just need to know that that's there. Philip said in John 14:8, that's too far. Oh, I didn't print it. But Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough. Philip was hungry. Philip voiced a hunger for the things of God, for the Spirit of God. Philip had a spiritual hunger. Show us the Father and that's enough. That's all he needed. So why else would Jesus suggest that hunger and thirst are the way to happiness? Because of the desires that hunger and thirst create. So just what is this righteousness for which we are to hunger and thirst? It's more than just a judicial justice. It is more than just a code of conduct. It is nothing less than goodness. It's a desire for personal goodness. Paul said that he desired to do what was good, but he could not carry it out. He recognised his own weakness in Romans 7:18. Paul recognised that he wanted to do the righteousness of God, but in himself he couldn't do that. He could only do it with help from God. He could only do it by having a spiritual hunger to tap into the Word of God and do what that said. And even then he knew, being not perfect, he struggled to get that right. If it's as important as that to Paul, how much more important is that to me? How much more important is that to you? Even if Paul couldn't get it right, if Paul recognised his weakness, then we too need to recognise our weaknesses. We can know what it is to have a spiritual hunger if we desire a personal goodness in ourselves that only our Heavenly Father can give us. I am so glad that Jesus did not say that only those who are righteous would be blessed. Otherwise, we'd all be in trouble. Instead, he said, those who hunger and thirst to be righteous are blessed. When the desire for personal goodness saturates us, happiness becomes natural reality. I've put it up there. There's also the desire to do good to others. Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. When we have a sincere desire to do good to others, we become generous in our actions and also in our behaviour towards others. We go the second mile. We do that bit extra. And soon we begin to question, why are we doing this? Are we doing it just to feel good, or are we doing it because it brings happiness to others? Are we doing it because we want to benefit others? In any case, doing good to others gives us blessing and happiness. We need the desire to know God. So who alone is really good? It might surprise some people, but even Jesus recognised that he had to have a spiritual hunger. In Luke 18 and verse 19, Jesus questioned the ruler who asked what he must do to get eternal life. He actually said to Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good?" And Jesus said, "No one is good except God alone." So even Jesus recognized that he had to have a spiritual hunger and thirst. Even Jesus had to tap into the Father. Once again, if Jesus had to do that, how much more do I have to do it? Even Jesus couldn't do it alone when he was walking the earth. He still needed God the Father to help him. How much more do we need that? Over time, some of our desires degrade, and if they're satisfied, sometimes they abate. But the desire to know God edifies and instills happiness. No one is happier than those who hunger and thirst to know God more. And to satisfy that hunger, it takes reading the word, it takes praying, it takes serving him, it takes fellowship, it takes communication with God. Why else would Jesus suggest that hunger and thirst are the way to happiness? Because of the satisfaction that they obtain. Jesus promised that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. We will be satisfied, just as when we eat a normal meal, a physical meal. We will be satisfied. But what does this satisfaction and of this hunger and thirst, what does that bring? The satisfaction of experiencing goodness in this life, according to Psalm 23, brings us a couple of things. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. God provides everything for us. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. That speaks of peace to me. Who wants peace in their life? In Psalm 23, 5 and 6 it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life." That does not come except with a hunger and thirst after righteousness, a spiritual hunger for God. The satisfaction of entering into a complete goodness in the life to come. Those who hunger, and they will eat, and those who thirst, they will drink. Both will be satisfied. This is an unconditional promise that Jesus gave us. All we have to do is hunger after righteousness. We only have to have a spiritual hunger, and God will do the rest. God will satisfy. He will give us what we need, and we will be fulfilled. In conclusion, could we have every head bowed and every eye closed? Do you hunger and thirst for more than what this world can offer? What about distractions? How many distractions are there? We're told we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness, but there's a lot of things that would seek to distract us from that. Mobile phone, internet, TV, football, lots of other things, plenty of activities. In the days that Jesus walked the earth, they never had any of that sort of stuff. So it was probably easier than it is today. But sometimes we need to switch those things off and just concentrate on the righteousness of God. Just concentrate on what He has for us. Just listen to what He's trying to tell us and teach us. Have a spiritual hunger for what He wants to give us. In John 7, 37 to 38, we read, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture have said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Are you hungry and thirsty today? There is room for you at His banqueting table today. In Revelation 3:20 we read, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me." Are you hungry enough this morning? Are you thirsty enough this morning that you'd like to knock on the door? You'd like Jesus to knock on the door and come in and dine with you, to eat with you and drink with you? Do you have that desire? Do you have that spiritual hunger to do that kind of business with God? You know, in my working career, I would often deal with international people, and some nations in the world will refuse to do business with you until you've had a meal with them, because relationship is more important than business. And I think Jesus is like that too. I think Jesus wants relationship. That's the most important thing that He wants with you, is relationship. He wants you to have a meal with Him before He does business with you. He wants relationship, and then you can talk business. So let's have some relationship with God. Let's hunger and thirst after His righteousness. Let's have a spiritual hunger that makes us want to hear what He has to say, that makes us want to have a personal relationship with Him, that wants us to be able to do what He wants us to do. Perhaps if we can just have a moment, let the musicians play. Let's not make any noise. Let's just keep our head bowed and our eyes closed and just think about what God might be saying to you this morning, how He wants to build a relationship with you.
Lord, that let that be our prayer today. That we be hungry for the things of You. That in the amidst the chaos that of our world, that You would just bring peace. But that peace will come from having relationship with You. Thank You for Your word today. Thank You for the challenge. And we pray that You help us act it out this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, Mel, for that word.